You're listening to an audio sermon presentation from the Reverend Paul W. Simrell, pastor of Elpis Christian Church, Maidens, Virginia. You can learn more about our congregation and its ministries by visiting elpischurch.org. We also hope that you'll continue to access other sermons, Bible study and meditation materials, resources for pastoral counseling, and more by visiting our church's blog, which can be found at igw3.blog. That's the number 3, igw3.blog. Now, here's today's message. Our scripture verse for today's sermon comes from the 112th Psalm. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. The other day I came across a little article on how to spot a truly superficial person. You know the type. It's the man or woman who may seem to be pretty happy, might even be quite successful by the world's standards, but he or she just seems to be sort of skating through life at the surface level with no real depth or purpose. Well, again, according to this article, you know you're dealing with a truly superficial person when they have at least a few, if not all, of these traits. Number one, no inner compass. No values to speak of other than enjoyment and self-fulfillment. Number two, an overemphasis on physical attraction, both one's own and that of others. Number three, zero self-awareness, at least not the good kind. We aren't talking about a healthy sense of self balanced by an appreciation of others. We're talking about a kind of cluelessness about who we are, what we do, that might impact others in negative or unhelpful ways. Number four, being overly materialistic. Money, money, money. That's what it's all about to them. Living by the motto, he who dies with the most toys wins. Number five, showing a striking absence of emotional intelligence and empathy. A sort of hurry up and stop talking so I can tell you about my day kind of person. Number six, being overly judgmental, especially about how you aren't paying enough attention to whatever he or she thinks is important. Number seven, a love of gossip. That speaks for itself. Number eight, relishing being the center of attention. And speaking of that, number nine, a tendency to social media everyone to death. You know, describing one's life in blow-by-blow segments, excruciating details. And finally, number 10, an extreme sense of entitlement. You owe me, and everyone else does as well. Ouch. I think that's a pretty good description of how to waste one's life in the most superficial of ways, don't you? Now, in contrast, how do we live our lives avoiding that deadly trap of superficiality? How do we live lives that truly matter, that make a difference, that are, in short, worth remembering? Or to put it another way, when your life draws to its close, how would you like to be remembered? That's probably not a question that a lot of us ask ourselves, at least not very often. But it's a good one. Along with all the ways recent events have impacted our lives, perhaps this is one particularly profound thing that has happened. We have found ourselves becoming aware of just how fragile and short life really is. And maybe, in turn, that has caused us to ponder this important question. When all is said and done, what do we want our lives to have been about? This Memorial Day weekend, when we remember those who have lived their lives so fully and have perhaps so unselfishly sacrificed themselves in doing so, it's a good time for us to do a little reflection along these lines. Well, to get at that, I want to turn to the Psalms today, in particular, Psalm 112. It's a passage of Scripture that calls us to reflect on a life well lived. It speaks of the man or woman who lives life with a laser-like focus on what really matters. Let's look at what such a life, according to Scripture, is all about. In the process, I hope we'll be inspired to follow its example. The psalm begins with a simple invitation. Praise the Lord. That's a good place to start, because it is the cornerstone activity of a life well lived, a life worth remembering. We can spend our time, fleeting as it is, doing so much that is of such lesser importance. To remind ourselves that literally everything we do can be an opportunity to give God praise and glory, that gets us off on the right foot, right from the start. Then, the psalm offers some specific ways we can do that. First, the scripture says, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord and who finds great delight in his commands." If you want to live life well, I invite you to do that. Take delight in God's commands. Don't see them as burdensome or merely something you do to avoid eternal punishment. Take joy in them. Delight in doing what God calls you to do. See that as a kind of holy obedience, as a privilege, instead of some legally imposed mandate. There are so many ways to do that. That's why the benediction I typically use for my congregation at the end of our time of worship is, "Now go with God's blessing and the assurance of God's love, and go remembering the task and privilege of sharing that love with others in Jesus' name." It's a privilege to love as we've been loved. It's something in which we can truly take delight. Don't ever forget that. Next, the scripture says, "His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed." When we live upright lives, it doesn't just impact our lives and those immediately around us. It impacts generations to come. Whether or not we bear children ourselves, we impact those children who can follow our example. They are mighty in the land. That is, they are strengthened by what we offer them, and they, in turn, strengthen others. What a legacy. Next, the scripture says, wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. There is a permanence to living life in and by the standards of the kingdom of God. There's a permanence to it. That's something else to celebrate in our transitory throwaway society. When we do all we can to live out our lives as God's children, our actions will have a lasting impact. Does it mean we will always literally be wealthy? No, not necessarily. We don't live as kingdom people because it guarantees a full bank account. But is it a full, rich life nonetheless? You bet it is. We have something money can't buy for ourselves or for our family, eternal peace that passes all understanding. Next, the scripture says, even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. We live in pretty dark times, not the darkest of all, but certainly dark enough. Still, as Jesus said, we can be the light of the world, shining God's love wherever it's needed. The psalmist doesn't say we won't have darkness in our lives, but he does promise that we will be able to confront it and defeat it. Why? Because it's God's light we shine, and not our own fleeting, dying ember. Next, the scripture says, good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast. And there you have it. We don't seek to live out our lives in righteous, generous, just ways for the payoff. We don't do it in order to be remembered and praised. But it is a fact that when we get our focus going in the right direction and live in such a way, it is a given that we will be remembered, hopefully as an inspiration for others. Again, to use the shorthand version I began with, we will have lived a life worth remembering. This Memorial Day weekend, we remember so many who have fought and died bravely in the battles of life, real and figuratively speaking. We remember those who have inspired us with their sense of justice, their generosity, their bravery, their sacrificial love, and sense of duty. I hope that as we do, we might each rededicate ourselves to living lives that will impact current and future generations in a similar way. Well, there you have it. A little food for thought on how not only to avoid living a superficial life, but also embracing a rich and meaningful one. I leave you with this. Time, life itself, is fleeting. So don't waste it. Praise God, and do all you can to make your day-in, day-out life a living example of that joyful praise. When it is all said and done, you'll be able to rest easy, knowing that you've made a difference. You will have lived a life that's worth remembering, all to the glory of God. Amen.